Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this episode, we're going to look at how property forecasting works and how economists predict the property market. Or more importantly, or better put, do they really predict it at all? Or is it a case of just flying blind and we pin the tail on the donkey? Probably a mix of both, in my opinion. So the problem with property data is it's always backwards looking. So we don't know how it's doing until we get the auction results, and then they look backwards at what happened that weekend. And then they might look further backwards and compare it to the last quarter or this time a year ago. So it's kind of rear view mirror stuff. And sometimes you can look at the rear view mirror to predict the future. But at the moment, there's a lot of uncertainty. And sometimes all the downside is priced in because of fear. And sometimes we overestimate the upside because of greed. See, all markets are driven by human emotions, fear and greed. Pretty hard, isn't it, to predict human emotions? In fact, even Sir Isaac Newton, famed mathematician, lost his life savings in a bubble when the market crashed. And he famously said, "I can predict the movement of heavenly bodies, but I cannot account for the madness of men." So the price in any market is a function of human greed. And the great economist John Kenneth Galbraith once said that all markets are wrong when we look at the majority. In other words, the majority in any market is always wrong. That's hard going, isn't it? And hard to predict, because we tend to think the majority is right. In most things, and because we're a pack animal, human beings like to stick with the herd. And if everyone's doing something, there's safety in numbers, and that many people can't be wrong. But by its very nature, a market, when it's driven by human emotion, will always have the majority as being wrong. In other words, if you imagine some thin ice and we're all trying to navigate across thin ice, and we find a bit that everyone thinks is the safest bit, everyone's going to run to that bit. And by the fact of the majority just being there, that bit of ice collapses. And a market's a bit the same. It's going to turn because of what the majority do. In other words, when the majority are buying, that's when you sell, because so many people are in there competing, supply and demand, and it's great. It's a seller's market. When everybody is selling, or there's a lot of fear and no one is buying, that is not a seller's market. That becomes a buyer's market. So do the opposite of the majority, in other words. Warren Buffett said it best: be fearful when others are greedy, and greedy when others are fearful. In other words, if everybody is afraid, it's time to start buying. And when people are all buying, that's when you should be afraid. Don't go with the herd, that's when you should be selling. So right now, Warren Buffett is buying up. The market is very fearful. And that can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's what economists and market forecasters look at. So they look at one metric of consumer and business confidence. And at the moment, that's at an all-time low. Not quite as low yet as the start of the pandemic, April 2020, but as low as the global financial crisis. In other words, they look weekly at how people are feeling feeling. Because remember, markets are driven by human emotion, fear and greed. And at the moment, people are really, really afraid. When they're afraid, they don't do anything because they think, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And when in doubt, do nothing. So that's what people are doing right now. Literally nothing. So that's bad for people inevitably needing to sell their properties. There aren't many buyers. And that's because people need to sell often in any market, good, bad, or ugly. We tend to think, especially when we're investors and we're looking to profit from property, we tend to think that we have to wait for a good market or a bad market to do certain things. But most people sell when they need to and buy when they need to, and they can't control their need to accord with the market. In other words, people need to downsize and go into homes. People die, unfortunately, and their property has to be sold. Other things happen. There can be divorces. Bad things happen all the time. Mortgagee repossessions. So a lot of stuff goes on where getting a price or waiting for a better market is not an option for sellers. That's why it pays to be a buyer when the time is right. And that could be right now. So what else do forecasters look at? They look at consumer sentiment at the moment. They look at auction clearance rates. But as I said, that's a backward-looking metric. We only know on the Monday or Tuesday after a weekend what's sold at auction. But what we're seeing at the moment is half the stock of this time a year ago coming on for auction. So it means that those who don't have to sell are not selling. There's not as much stock circulating, or if they do need to sell, they're testing the waters, but they're not putting it all on the line and going for auction because they know that the buyers are not there. The other thing that's happening too at the moment is construction costs have gone up. So the latest metrics show that across Australia, construction costs are up over 10%. Some states even more, 12% in Victoria. So it's costing a lot to build. Now, there are people who need to build because of floods and natural disasters that have happened a lot recently, because of the home builders grant and everybody who bought into the property market needing to build during the pandemic. They signed all their contracts, and as we've seen, because of that sudden shift in prices in the market, a lot of builders and a lot of the construction industry has collapsed. So a lot of failed contracts. And there's also a massive labour shortage at the moment. It's just hard to get good labour, especially around trades. And that means that a lot of construction jobs just aren't getting done. And then we have massive inflation in our economy. That means that the cost of fuel and all that sort of thing that feeds into construction prices has gone through the roof. It costs so much more to get the frames and to get whatever's needed for the build and to put it on a truck and to get it to a construction site. And the cost of labor has gone up. So that's all fed in and it's become a vicious circle. So that's another thing that's interacting now and weaving in the dominoes into the property market. The other thing that's also playing out, and we know about this, that they look at when it comes to forecasting property prices is interest rates. So interest rates is the price of money. Interest rates are the reward that savers get when they put their money in a term deposit. And interest rates are also the punishment or the cost of borrowing. Now, we've had emergency rates for a number of years. And even before that, we had rates historically low. So 0.25%, that's the wholesale rate that banks pay to borrow money, 0.25%. It went down to 0.1%. And our Reserve Bank that sets interest rates said to us at the start of this year that rates wouldn't go up until 2024. And then a couple of months later, they started raising rates, and not just raising them willy-nilly, raising them in massive big chunks, like 0.5%. Historically, that really hasn't been done before. So we've had 6 rate rises this year and big rate rises. And the Reserve Bank governor Philip Lowe has told us there are more rate rises to come. So many economists are predicting two more rate rises this year, November and December, and they may be smaller rises, so maybe not the 0.5%. But what it does mean is that it's far more expensive for people to pay their mortgages, and people are already struggling because they've got to spend money, more money elsewhere, on groceries, on fuel, on the cost of living, and they're not earning that much more. So that is all starting to bite, and that will play into the property market. So there's going to be a lot more mortgage stress, and with the cost of living and everything else going up, rents have gone up as well. So there's rental stress as well. So it's a bit of a powder keg or a melting pot with all of that happening in the property market. Will it absolutely implode? Who knows? Who's got a crystal ball? What are the forecasters saying? When they look at all that sort of data we've talked about, many are saying that the property market's going to drop 35%, even 40%. Others are saying that it's already bottomed out and it's coming back. Who knows? Markets respond to fear and greed. Those two are probably the extremes, and they have seen investor activity in the market. In other words, investors are looking for yield. If rents go up, then it pays to have an investment property. Even though interest rates are going up, if rents are going up faster, people are going to see good value buying. So markets always hit a bottom. Is this the bottom of the market? Maybe not, because things are going to progress further. They're already jawboning or talking about further rate rises. Inflation's going to get worse before it gets better. The Reserve Bank have said it'll hit 7.75% by the end of this year. And even if Australia's all right and our consumer sentiment starts to pick up, which it hasn't, but people are feeling negative. And by the way, they hadn't felt this negative as they did in the pandemic since World War II. And we're down near those levels. So far more pessimists than optimists in the economy. So that will reach a bottoming out. How bad will it get? Well, we have to remember that property prices over the last year and a half, 2 years in the pandemic, went up nearly 30% on average nationally. So we had 30% rapid rises. So we've got some room to move, some wriggle room if prices should fall. People, property owners, should have plenty of equity in their property. There shouldn't be blood in the streets. And if there is, and if things really go to hell in a handbasket, don't forget people would have had a deposit when they bought their house. So even if we've gone up 30%, even if we go down 30% or more, then people would have had probably a 10% deposit. So there is some wriggle room there. The other thing to be aware of is that we have very low unemployment. So if you look at other times in history, like the global financial crisis or even the Great Depression, the problem there was that people couldn't get an income. Even if they wanted to service their mortgages or pay their rent, there was just no work to be had. Like 25% of the workforce was unemployed. We now have a number with a 3%, with a 3 in front of it, 3.4% unemployment. In other words, a very, very tight labor market. And history has shown, if forecasters look at the past to predict the future, history has shown that people will do whatever it takes before they stop paying their mortgage. So that's probably the last thing that they'll stop paying. They'll stop paying credit cards and other things, and they may bake beans on toast and tighten their belt, but they'll find the money for their mortgage. So the good news is that there's plenty of work available. People can get extra jobs, extra hours, side hustles. Plus, we live in a digital age, so there's lots of opportunities available. Property technology, that's out there. Everyone's far more informed, and lots of digital side hustles available. So people are able to raise the money if and when they need it, because the economy, the employment rate is so low, and anyone can walk in and get a job. So money will still be available. It's still a knife's edge. It's still a balancing act as we move through the economy, and things are likely to get bad before they get better. But our housing market should be solid and should be able to navigate and traverse those choppy seas. Who knows? It's a matter of time. But the things that they look for are the things we've talked about: unemployment. They look at interest rates. They look at auction clearance rates. They look at consumer confidence. And it's a bit of a mixed bag there. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. All in all, probably don't get too caught up in trying to predict the future. No one really can. There's a lot of known knowns out there that we can measure, but it's all kind of hindsight stuff. And the benefit of hindsight is great, but it's not really helpful. We have to expect the best, prepare for the worst, and be able to make bold and informed decisions on the information that we have. So if you want to know more about how to profit from a changing market and the uncertainty ahead, go to the link below in the comments or description section, and attend one of our free events, because knowledge is power, and never more so than right now when it comes to property. If you're part of our property lovers community and you're really enjoying this podcast, then leave us a review below and tell us where you're listening in from and what you'd like to know more about. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to invite you to join the Property Lovers Facebook group. To find the group in Facebook, just search for Property Lovers. You'll see the group banner, which has the word Property Lovers Hub on it. It's a community for property lovers in Australia. And just like this podcast, it's been created to give you a competitive advantage so you can get superior results in property. Please come and join us today. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.